Well, good evening. This evening, as I stated, we're going to be talking about the Lion's Lunch. The Lion's Lunch. And this is one of those subjects sometimes I just don't think is talked about enough sometimes. It's amazing that physically we understand what it means that if we are going to be in battle, if we're going to be in war, what do? We study our opponent. We see what kind of strategies they have and what I need to be doing to make sure I don't fall victim to, being their prey. As I thought about this lesson and what it really means to be devoured by the devil. The devil and Satan, these words that we see throughout the Bible since the beginning of time, and how he's described in Genesis as being cunning and crafty, the serpent, remember? We have different things like that through the Bible. Just like in Corinthians, it talks about how the devil can transform himself into what? An angel of light. Many different forms. But I think the one that really hits home as to what he is all about is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, Peter said. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I always, when I read this verse, you might have the same thoughts as I do about Peter, who understood this so well. Who better to write about this than someone who has been there, who has been sought out, who had failed at one time and another, who knew what it was like for the devil to be walking about seeking whom he may devour. We spend a lot of time in our physical life about learning about things to watch out for, how we don't become victim of theft, how we don't become victim of burglaries, right? We have all these little things that we see from time to time. This is how you can protect yourself from these type of things. Don't leave your valuables in the open, in your car. If you have a GPS or whatever, you go to us, put them up, things like that. Don't leave money out. It's amazing how many people leave thousands of dollars laying right there in the front seat and the car unlocked. Is that weird? Just saying. We learn all those things. And we try to protect ourselves. And no, I'm going to get an alarm system. I'm going to get all these things. But spiritually, how many today are sober, are vigilant, has made a checklist to protect ourselves, our hearts, our minds, that we talked about this morning, from Satan? How many of us have really prepared ourselves for him? Because the fact of the matter is, he does exist. He does exist. And I think we do a huge disservice, in society when we picture the devil as a cute little character with a fork, pitchfork and a little forked tail and everything. He's just so cute, But he's not cute. I found this picture, and man, I don't know what it would be like to be standing right there with that thing looking at me. Because you know what's on his mind? Lunch. Your lunch. They're vicious animals. We've been to the zoo. We've seen these, right? How much would cross over that fence and go walk around them? No, that's all right. I'm good at a distance. Well, the one that we're talking about tonight that's described in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he's not fenced in. He's around us. He's everywhere. And that's why we find these words that we want to talk about. Be sober. Let's just define a few of these things. What does he mean to be sober? Peter says, talking about the calmness of the mind, the mental, the self self-control that we are supposed to have, the mental self-control. In verse 7, right before that, we were just singing a song about, I must tell Jesus, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Well, that's exactly what he said right before he said, be sober, be vigilant. You know, don't be overly concerned in the cares of this world. Priorities. Be sober. Having self-control. Be vigilant, he says. Be watchful. You know, like I said, physically, when we leave out of Walmart or whatever, and it's at night, what are we doing? I hope we're looking around, because there's a lot of things that happen when the sun goes down in Center Texas around those stores. I've taken a lot of calls there. We understand that physically, but spiritually, are we watching? Are we looking around? Are we wide awake? Are we always on the alert? You know, there are facts that there are some that are just too careless today. We must remain alert. We must be sharp, remain in control. We have to be on guard. The word adversary is presented, and we know what adversary means. It means that is my enemy, an opponent. Satan is the one on the opposite side of a trial for life or death. Devil, as he says there, is one who deliberately, knowingly, he makes these false charges against the saints of God. He is opposed to man. Now notice this, we're talking about this roaring lion. The fierceness with which he stalks and runs down the saints. Strength and ferocity. We've got to see a lion in action, haven't we? They're just an amazing creature. And the way they hunt. They're absolutely astounding. Like I said, and of course, I think I was thinking about this lesson. I'd watch Skittles, our cat at the house. You know, they have that tendency in them, don't they? How they lurk around and they'll start sneaking up. You let a bug get in there, a moth. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy at the house then. It's amazing, though. And what we do now is when I leave out of the closet, to go back into the bedroom, Skittles will hide there underneath and be pounce ready. Every time I go in that closet and come back out, it'll be ready. And as soon as I come through, it jumps and grabs a hold of my leg. You know? And it just reminds me of how they hunt, you know, and obviously a lion much more fiercer than that. But you think about the ferocity and the strength that they have. The lion does not roar for the pleasure he gets from the exercise. That's not what that's all about. It is an expression of ravenous hunger, of fierce anger. You know, that's its mechanism there. Satan is represented as such, but here he is described here as a lion, noting his power to intimidate. He has power to frighten. Walketh about. I think that's a good, you know, ready to spring upon and devour any wanderer. Just like Skittles. He's ready to spring up, right? He's ready to come out. You know that when you go back in the days of Job, that's how he's described? What was Satan doing in the days of Job? Doing the same exact thing he was in the days of Peter, in the days of Jesus. And same thing he's doing today, going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down on it. Does that kind of make you uneasy a little bit? It kind of does me. Because the hunt is on. Once again, put yourself in the safari, right? You go out there and you're among the lions. What's your alertness going to be? We're going to be packed with all kinds of guns, ammunition. We might have a few stakes we might be able to throw out there to distract it for a little bit. We'd be ready, wouldn't we? Spiritually, how ready are we? Because it says that he is going to and fro on the earth. He's walking up and down on it. The intention is to destroy every art, every device which has learned and all that that and the, say, thousands of years of experience tempting and destroying the human families, it happens. Seeking. That's the idea of persistence. The fact is, if I'm not persistent in my Christian life, guess what? He's going to be persistent in seeking me out. He searches out his victims. Here's this ferocious lion on the prowl. He's eager to devour one that should, he's one that should keep Christians away. And then, of course, that word devour you find in there in verse 8 as well. To gulp down, to swallow, and thus utterly to destroy. No, let's say, you know, is this real? Is this a myth that we talk about? Is this something that, you know, kind of scare the children into submission? You know, or is this fact? This is fact. But the question is, you know, I might say, yeah, I believe that what Peter says there. I believe what happened to Job, and I believe what happened to Jesus, but I don't live as though I believe it. I'm not alert. I'm not sober. I'm not vigilant. I'm not preparing myself. We had best believe that he's out to destroy us. The cause we love and the work that we try to do. How successful has he been thus far with us? So I'm going to ask, we go through this lesson, are we becoming his lunch? It's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but I think it really hits home for us when we start thinking about what this lion is looking for. We're going to hit on this point here about how the lion gets his lunch. And we're going to make these physical characteristics, things that physically they do, that we can apply. Like I said, these are some things that we might already know about lions in our study of them, or in our watching History Channel, but that's not right, National Geographic Channel. But the lion has learned how to kill its prey. He looks for certain things. And we're going to go through a list this evening, and then we'll make the applications, and the lesson will be yours. I think it's a very easy one to understand in this, to be applied. But as applied to those among us who would become the lion's lunch, we're going to look, see, do I fall in that category? Am I that person? I believe that the first one we'd have to say is the small. The small ones are the ones who become the lion's lunch. It's the first one on the list. And when I mean the small, I mean those who are young in the faith. Those are the ones that are easy targets. They would be the new converts. They're the new Christians. They are not experienced enough spiritually to escape Satan's snares. He is deceptive. Remember from the beginning of time how deceptive he was? What he told Eve? You shall surely not die. Right? I mean, he had her just, you know what? He's got a point. Well, here, Adam. He said it. So it's got to be true. And look what happened. As in Adam, all died, but in Christ made alive. One of the most dangerous times in our life is just after our conversion. You think about that. He's going to make an attempt to get us back into his fold if possible. He wants us. 1 Peter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There's fact of the matter is, we'll go through this lesson, there are still those that have been baptized that are still babes, that have not progressed. Now, you know, and it's okay to be a babe, but there's got to be growth sometime or another. I hope Aiden moves on to eating solid food someday. That'd be nice. Right? That's called growth. The nutrition spiritually, do we have a desire for it? Have we lost our desire? Laying aside sin and insincere motives must grow, mature, enlarge, expand. Desire the word so that we can grow, progress. Then we get stronger, and then we can resist. We don't become stronger just by tomorrow. You know, it didn't happen, does it? We have to study. We talk about a relationship with God. This day by day walking. We spend hours sometimes teaching people to become Christians, then only see them devoured by Satan because they're just too young in the faith to know how to resist. And we let it happen without much opposition. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Matthew 28. Jesus told them that he's out there and he's going to get you if you're not careful. You know, we have a responsibility ourselves to teach others. There's many that I know. They're not members. They're not here. Burkeville, I went back over there. It is sad because I've watched how that has happened. For those to be devoured. Have you ever seen anybody devoured by the world? And what that's like? To watch them struggle? You ever watched the prey of the predator struggle for its life? And what do? Is it over? Oh, they were just small. They just couldn't help it. What are we doing as Christians? We have a job to do as well. But we have to be reminded, the young do not have to become the devil's lunch. They don't have to be the lion's lunch. They don't. What about the slow? That one makes the top of the list, doesn't it? Because the mentality of our society is, if I'm faster than you, you're the devil's lunch, right? Or you're the lion's lunch. I talk about the slow, and the slow, but what I mean by that is they're not yet alert enough to avoid being misled, right? Not all who are Christian will be strong enough to be able to take up the fight, the shield of faith with which to quench the Satan's fiery darts from Ephesians chapter 6. Remember? It says, put on the whole armor of God. When we look at ourselves spiritually, how much armor do we have on? I might have a shield, but I don't have a sword. I might have a helmet, but I don't have anything else. We'd say that was somebody that was standing here saying, I'm going to go to war, and all they got is a helmet on. You're thinking, buddy, you're in trouble, right? Physically, we can make those applications. That's crazy. Spiritually, this is life and death. This is serious. Don't know the Bible well enough and can be easily overcome. Notice Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. See where we're going? We're going back. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We have to ask ourselves, are we using our senses? Are they being exercised daily to discern both good and evil? Am I allowing myself to look into the word? Am I desiring it to know more, to mold me, as we talked about this morning? Those that have not matured had you know, enough time to get to that point. How much do I know? There are those that remained as babes. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with being a babe as long as we're growing, as long as we are getting some progress. To avoid being a part of the lion's lunch, we must be strong by being a partaker of meat. We have to move on. We can't just get into the comfort spot and say, I'm going to stay right here, because that's not the way God That's not the way it is. He says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, with a kindness, love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. What about this one? The sickly. Well, that's an easy target too, isn't it? The sickly. Those that are diseased. You know, sometimes we say diseased. Diseased, but those who are spiritually weak. These are the Christians who are easily offended. Those are those that are ready to get mad. Those are easy to get their feelings hurt. Paul gives instructions about how to deal with this. In Romans 14 and verse 15 says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Walkest love, he's talking about. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. You know, those mature in the faith sometimes give up, that makes sacrifices for the weak. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? There was a problem in Corinth, wasn't there? There were some sickly individuals there at that congregation that were spiritually weak, that were diseased. He says, we've got to fix this. We should treat the spiritually weak as we do our families when illness strikes. Care for them. We must help the spiritually weak to become strong. You see how these points are all? See where they're going? It's twofold. I need to be helping someone, or I might be the one that needs help. Twofold. What about the stragglers? You think there are some stragglers out there that the lion's looking for? I mean, we're talking about, you know, looking for the easy prey, right? I always like to, you know, they chase after these antelopes and all this other stuff. I'm thinking that's too much work for me to be chasing after an antelope. I'm looking for one that has the gimp leg or something, right? I'm looking for someone. We understand that. I mean, we live in a fast food society. What are we looking for? I know where the McDonald's is tonight, right? Well, find me something. Think about, you know, our fast pace, and we think about, you know, like I said, if we were the lion, what we'd be looking for? This would be on our list, wouldn't it? These things will be on our list. The easy ones, those that have wandered away from the fellowship of the flock of God, right? You see where we're going? There are those that cease to attend. There are those that do not read their Bibles. There are those who do not pray. There are those, what's it saying? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I mean, we see that there's certain things that I need to be doing every day. Not once again, not because it's Sunday, but because I need to make sure I don't become a straggler. Because I'm the easy one. I'm the easy one. We lose contact with the chief shepherd. That's when it becomes real easy. Because the chief shepherd says that he will be with us, doesn't he? He says he will protect us, doesn't he? This group possibly represents the largest group of the menu that Satan reviews constantly, the stragglers. We have to apply it. You know, Jesus talked about one lost sheep. What did the shepherd do? He was looking, wasn't he? He wanted to find that one sheep to bring back into the fold. Do we have that same compassion, have that same desire as well? The meeting's coming up, right? Is there someone that we're thinking about that says, man, I'd like to see them. I really want to invite them. And I really want to get them because I see them straggler. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill, what? The law of Christ. What about this one? The sleepers. Here you have those who are insensitive to dangers. I really think about it that if I was out there in the jungle or whatever you want to call it, safari lands and all that, and there are big beasts that are running around, how much sleep do you think I'd get? I don't think so. Now, how many of you would sleep? Don't think so, right? We're thinking, no, I'm going to be watching. I don't want to be just all of a sudden something just comes up and starts nibbling on me. I don't think it'd be a nibble either. But, you know, those that are insensitive to dangers, I feel, well, I'm secure, right? I'm secure. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. There was a man by the name of Peter who thought he was about as secure as one could ever be in life. You know, he told Jesus, I'll go and I'll die with you. Right? I'm going to die with you. Jesus said, you have one that's wanting to sift you as wheat. He's wanting to devour you. He's wanting to take you down. Not me. You must be mistaking yourself with another Peter out there, because that's not me. But you know, when it came down to it, what was Peter's problem? Now, he was a little overconfident, wasn't he? Jesus knew what was going to happen when he was approached and says, you are the one with Jesus. Oh, no, I wasn't. You know, you can picture that in your mind, how he was reacting. No. Why is he backing up now? There's some danger that was lurking. There was some risk that was going to take. You know, here's a concept. No concept of falling. Paul addresses this in Romans 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Jude says in verse 22 and 23, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, that's... goes back to it of, you know, if we saw a blazing inferno next door, if we saw some things that were happening, what would we try to do? Especially if our child was there. Right? We'd say, well, I would try to save someone's life. That gives the idea there, doesn't it? When one is about to become the lion's lunch, we must try to pull them away from the devil. And of course, it all leads to the injured. They are the ones that are hurt. They are the ones that are weak and unable to protect themselves. I say this is about the extensive list of six of them that I think that we can obviously see as easy targets and easy prey. But before we close the lesson, I just, you know, I said, with that list there, did we find ourselves anywhere in that mix as one that, you know, I'm behind. I'm the straggler, or I'm an injured one, or there's no shame in admitting it. That's what God wants, doesn't he? He wants us to admit, I'm a straggler. I'm an injured one. I need the help. It's the ones that don't say, I need the help, that needs to be ashamed, because they're the ones that's going to be what? The next lunch. They're going to be the ones that's devoured. Peter didn't get to that point at that time, did he? Because he was overconfident. No, you don't understand. I don't have any of these problems. We've all been there. I've been there. So I'm going to say, what can be done to remain out of the lion's mouth? We need to get this down. real quick. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 is the next verse from our text. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here's an admonition to faithful Christians who are never to yield to the devil in any way whatsoever. Resist, he says, and withstand all attempts made by Satan. Withstand is translated from the same Greek word as resist in James 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. That's the same word, and he will flee from you. The Christian is not to wait passively for the Lord to subdue Satan for him. That's kind of the way it is in our society, right? We always wait for someone else to do something about it, right? He is to put up a fight depending on the Lord for help. That's us. That's our job. We are to oppose. We are to resist the devil. Be firm in the faith, he talks about, for that which is solid and strong. That's what it means to be firm. Peter assures his readers that they are not alone in such sufferings as they are enduring or will endure. All Christians must realize and need to realize that they are not alone in their sufferings. There is a great encouragement in knowing that one is not alone, that others are enduring the same suffering and yet remain true to God. You know, the one thing I go back to is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Physically, was he alone? Well, there were people there, were they not? There were some disciples there. But what were they doing while he was praying? Sleeping. They were sleeping. And look what was coming. Resist steadfastly. No half-hearted resistance ever works. You know what? If we were having to fight a lion right now, how much would we put into it for our life? How much would we try? Or just lay down and be like, okay, you win, right? No. Because that's fatal. Satan is too strong for that. His wiles, that talks about in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is defined by Vines as being craft, deceit, and cunning devices. They exist in our nation, don't they? They're everywhere. Remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26 and 41, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, is what he said there. Watch and pray. The same idea of what Peter said. Be sober, be vigilant. Paul said it this way in Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. He understood this very well, didn't he? Talk about being steadfast in the faith. Faith is revealed truth, isn't it? You know, in Jude it says, contend earnestly for what? The faith. Contend earnestly. Are we contending earnestly for the faith? Acts 14 and verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Coming and sitting here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday evening, and is that really enough to resist? You talk about the real work starts when we walk out of the building. That's when the real work starts. Because it's easy here, isn't it? We're around Christians. It's when you get inside the gate, inside the fence line with the line, is when the work starts, right? We've crossed over. This helps us prepare ourselves. I keep our minds on track. Faith is not produced in fanciful dreams. It's not in visions. It's not in experiences. But it's in a thus saith the Lord. That's where it's at. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we know that all scripture is inspired by God, profitable doctrine for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do we look at it? We talked about it this morning. It's Is this still power to us? Is it still, in our minds, sharper than any two-edged sword? Is it able to prepare us for battle? Is it able to keep us, sustain us, all the way to the end of the age? Do we still believe it? Because the scriptures are true. Simply, my friends, we have to trust in God. You know, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, he shut the mouth of the lion, didn't he? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? One of our favorite accounts of the Bible for someone who has taken a stand. Did he trust in God? Daniel did. He trusted in God. He knew what it was like to stand there physically face to face with the lions. Hebrews 11 verses 32 and 33. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Japheth, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Would my name be attached somewhere in there about one who could stop the mouth of a lion? Because I trusted in my God. Because I was active in my faith. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 tells us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to do what? Bear it. Bear it. We're promised that God will guard us from the evil one. If he did not guard us, and that he does not allow stronger trials than we are able to bear, we would all be devoured by our adversary. It's true. I tell of two people real quickly, and they speak for themselves. We've already talked about them, but we bring our minds to them once again. Satan was walking to and fro upon the earth. Job knew what that was like. In chapter 1, God gave permission to Satan to remove all the material blessings from Job. Job was not shaken. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, in Job 1 and verse 22. In chapter 2, God gave permission for Satan to touch his flesh. But again, Satan failed because in all this, did not Job sin with his lips, Job 2 and verse 10. Job refused to become the lion's lunch. There's one also that Peter, he had his trials. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. The thought that the disciples would not be wheat, but only strawy stuff that would remain in the sieve to be burned. Satan desired to have Peter, to have under his control. But Peter repented, didn't he? He knew. He knew what he had done. He made it right with God. The applications, my friends, very simply, is we must not fall. God has much that can be accomplished through us if we remain faithful and loyal to him, just like he did with Job, just like he did with Peter. Because Peter, having experienced and having been there on the front lines, he is perfect to tell us about how we need to be active and how we need to be sober and how we need to be vigilant. There are some to seem that have the attitude, why be so concerned? To which we reply, think about it. Question. How many of you ever heard of a lamb ever killing and devouring a lion? Anybody? Mm-mm. Nope. Does this suggest our need for help? Say, why? We are the lamb. That's the way we are described, aren't we? We are the lambs. We must not assume that we are strong enough alone to resist the archenemy of Christ. Pride could make a devil snack for us. You know what? And it does many Christians. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We saw that verse earlier. We cannot have God's blessings, we cannot have the fellowship of his saints until we become Christians, begin working together with others in the vineyard, to have, be in that fold in baptism, to rise and walk in the light. You know, there are those who serve God have a sincere love for him, and that's what he wants, a love for him. My friends, the last word is don't become the devil's next lunch. Don't be the lion's next lunch. I ask the question, have we become the lion's lunch, or are we continuing steadfastly as a servant of God? Is there something that we have found ourselves in this list this evening, and we have fallen, and we have failed in some way? Let's not try to just keep on hobbling along, hoping that's going to be okay and that I'll be fine. Let's get the help that we need, because he says he will help us. And that's the lesson, the lion's lunch. Thank you for your kind attention, your patience in this lesson. Hope we have learned something about our opponent, about our adversary, and how we should not become the lion's lunch. But once again, if there's something that's amiss in our lives right now, and we're on the verge, or we have become, and we're being devoured, very serious things, because our eternity is at stake. If we need the song encouragement anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
Yeah.